Hey everybody, welcome to the 50th, not first, second, third, fourth, but the 50th, 5-0, the big 50. So, episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. So today, things are a little bit different. We're changing things up a bit. As you can see, we've got Andrew here, we've got Sophie. How are you doing? Both good?
Yeah, we're good. So it's been obviously a long time coming to our 50th episode. And obviously we've been putting a lot of work in the background to try and make it something a little bit different than what we normally do. So it'd be nice to obviously talk about it, share it, and then get people's thoughts about it.
Yeah, so something that... Go, Sophie. How are you? I forgot to say how you were.
I know. All good. Very excited for this episode. Like you both said, very different and something the audience will really enjoy.
Yeah, cool. So as we said, it's a special one. We're doing a little bit different. We don't have one guest. We don't have two guests. We don't have three guests. We have a host of different guests who have all recorded a couple of questions, answers to a couple of questions that we have given them. Andrew, what were the questions?
Now you put them on the spot, innit?
I was going to say what they were, but I didn't remember what they were.
No, it was basically one single question, and it was talking about... because obviously the question was to male allies, so the question was, you know, what can you do to better support women in tech? So there's like a whole section from, I think it's about seven different guys, just giving an introduction about themselves and currently who they're working for, and then what they do and how they see, you know, getting more women involved in tech and supporting them.
Yeah, so. It should be different. It will be different. It'll be different to the other one. So, but again, another, hopefully, quite a cool episode for people to look at.
Yeah.
But let's look back. Let's use the first 15, 20 minutes of this just to look back at the journey so far of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. So we started this in February 2021, I guess.
Yes, yes. That's what we called it, episode one. Then obviously the first guest was in March,
Zoe Wilson, in March. So yeah, it's been quite a long time for all of us. Like, and Andrew, how would you feel kind of like, what have you learned like the most over the past, I don't know how many months it is now, 21 months?
It's been, for me, very eye-opening and obviously hearing all the different stories from all the women that we had on. Obviously, you know, we've had guests on that have spoke about mental health challenges that they've had. Obviously, we did that special episode a few episodes back about World Mental Health Day. But it's just understanding people's challenges in life. You know, it doesn't just affect male, female, it affects basically everyone. You know, so having like Tracy van der Schaaf on, talking about when she had a stroke and just her outlook on life in general. I mean, for a woman that had a stroke, they're like literally laughing, making us laugh for the whole entire episode. You know, it was something completely different, and it's just so refreshing just to, you know, have a timeless podcast, because it is timeless when we look at it, that you can go back and listen to any particular episode and still take something from it. And whether that's, you know, talk someone hearing about someone's their journey through cancer. Obviously, we've had a few people on talking about their challenges through that. The mental health, neurodiversity. Obviously, you know, anyone go back to our episode with Donna and basically listen to that over and over again, the way she talks about, you know, her journey and supporting people. So it's, for me, it's just been a massive eye-opener, and obviously it's helped me become a better individual within my own organisation that I work for, trying to support more women in tech.
Yeah, it's been eye-opening to say the least, hasn't it? Like,
definitely
eye-opening to say the least. Like, lots of, I wouldn't say I was ignorant to things before, but I probably was in some ways, because I just didn't know like most of the stories actually were happening, if you get what I mean. I knew that, obviously knew that there's discrimination to women in tech and stuff like that, but not to that some of the degrees that we hear, to be honest. Like, so I wouldn't say ignorant, but just not knowing that things are happening. And then also some of the stories about neurodiversity, even one of the first episodes with Katrina, like where she spoke about dyslexia quite a bit as being like a hidden disability. Like, stuff like that you just don't really know of, if you go, I mean, don't really, if you're not faced with it day to day, then I think it's something, a subject that you can kind of pretend isn't there, or just not know that it's not there, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. Because like, obviously when we had this conversation back in 2020, obviously, you know, when we met up for the very first time at the interview, you know, and then obviously you kept bugging me for a whole entire year afterwards. But obviously when we then started,
we'll be on episode 100 now if you just hurried up. Like.
But when obviously then we started actually looking at, you know, what we want to do with this podcast and where we want to take it, you know, we never thought that would be coming just a pure women in tech podcast. We thought we'd be able to do different themes, but then them themes have all kind of fell into women in tech though. So the whole diversity, equality, inclusion, that's all fell into talking to women in tech and understanding everything that's been going on from people's careers to present day.
Yeah.
Did you start the podcast in lockdown?
Yeah.
When you first started it?
Kind of. It was like when it was kind of almost locked down, but not really locked down type thing. No, when we had like the full lockdown, but remember when everything opened and then Boris Johnson decided to then try to lock us back up again, but then nobody really listened. And it was that one there.
Got you. Yeah, I think for me it's been a really good platform. Day in, day out, you don't necessarily.
Wait a second, Sophie. I've got an intro for you. So don't ruin that, because I'm going to ask you the question here.
Fine.
Cut this out. So I don't know.
No, keep all this in. Make it. Make no. More
we should have done a bloopers one.
So. Anyway. Well, I was going to say, and I was going to do a really nice introduction, so that's why I wanted to kind of like hold it off, was that like, come to our episode on the 20th of August, we had a bright young woman attend, and her name was Sophie Dimelow, and I remember talking to, like, messaging Andrew after, going, we buzzed off that episode, like, big time, because, like, you brought a good enthusiasm to the podcast, and here you are. So how have you enjoyed it so far, Sophie?
Yeah, thank you for that nice intro, John.
See, I told you it was worth it. I don't know if Andrew's cut this out, but I said, stop talking, Sophie. I've got an intro for you.
Yeah. Andrew is keeping it all.
Yeah, one thing I have learned, well, one thing we've all learned is that I can talk, so that's one thing. But yeah, going back to my point, the platform, I think day in, day out, and at recent events, and I know that a couple of other women in tech have sort of brought this to light on LinkedIn and stuff, but there aren't still, in my opinion, enough women or things that we see of women in tech. So I think this has been a great, you know, past 50 episodes of sharing them successes and raising awareness at the same time, and just understanding different people's experiences and their career paths to help, you know, younger people like me and younger people within the tech industry or wanting to get into it. So that's the main thing that I've taken away from it, just realizing the different types of women and different characteristics that can actually make it in tech and be really successful doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've kind of helped you in any way in terms of being able to be enthusiastic and talking, because I think you was already there in the first place. But
yeah.
Having you on the podcast as a co-host has been really good. It's been a really good addition. Like, I know you don't do, like, you can't do all of them because you're busy in your day job. You've changed jobs in this time as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So lots of, but what Sophie brings to the table when it comes to the podcast is, if we've got an episode that's a little bit slow and Sophie's on it, like you bring it off a notch and you keep it to an interesting episode at least, because you always find something to talk about.
Yeah, I'd be interested as well to know feedback and to know what more the audience would want moving forward. You know, I love making it fun and a bit of a laugh and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, but not only that, like the podcast and you guys I wouldn't have gone to South Coast Summit 2 years running. You know, I wouldn't have been able to speak at a panel. I wouldn't have been able to meet all these amazing women in tech and then go to all the events and be recognised for that. So, yeah, it's definitely...
I remember going to you ages ago. Are you going to the Surf Coast Summit? You were like, what's that? It was like, go there! Like,
yeah, exactly.
But do you think it's really helped your confidence just obviously initially speaking to us and then us then telling you to like, come to the South Coast Summit? Because I think from an outside perspective, you know, you're very much more traveling all over the place, being active.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you're very much enjoying that.
Yeah, I think obviously the first year that I went to South Coast Summit, I was with one of my colleagues, but this year I was completely on my own, travelled there on my own, stayed in a hotel by myself, everything else. But I was very comfortable doing so just for the pure fact that I knew that I had people. I literally walked to sign in and someone went, oh, Sophie. And I had like three people even walking in come up to me and say, oh, hi, Sophie, you're right. And I was like, oh, hi, yeah, yeah. You know, and automatically you feel comfortable, don't you? But I'd say that for any Microsoft event or any tech event that, you know, if you are going on your own, that's absolutely fine. And you will feel comfortable.
Yeah, I mean,
I went to get lunch on the last South Coast Summit, and I saw you then sitting down with Billy, having a conversation with Billy. I mean, obviously, we only met Billy from the previous South Coast Summit when me and John went, come to our session.
Yeah. Well, same here. So, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, when it comes to these, I've said it before, when it comes to these events, like, you go for the first time, don't know anyone, doesn't last long, like, you meet one person, you meet another person, you meet another person. Like, this podcast helped me a lot, obviously, because I think when I went, I think the first kind of event I went to since lockdown was Commonsverse. And then look at Commonsverse, we'd had Zoe on, we had Sarah on, we had who else before that? Sharon Weaver we had on as well. We recorded with Donna Sarkar that night, but I had like three or four people on there that I spoke to before, so then it became a lot easier. And then you meet people like Luke Evans, like a friend, like who've become really good friends of mine now, and like Jose and people like that, that off the back of doing this podcast you start to know different people. Then you go to your next one, so it's South Coast Summit, and then you meet everyone else like Chirag, Kevin, Peter Rising, like all these people, and then you just become good friends with them. And then like it's like one of those friendship groups that you don't see each other all the time. Like, you might see each other every 6 months or once a year or something like that, but you can pick up from where you left off, which is quite nice in my opinion. I talk to Luke, Zoe and Jose nearly every day now, so it's a bit different. But
I mean, obviously, yeah. At the back of this podcast, John, you've become a quiz champion twice over, haven't you? Three times over.
South Coast Summit quiz champion, Scottish Summit quiz champion, and we're going for the hat trick next time. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'll probably be the South Coast Summit, because there's no Scottish Summit next year, is there? So,
no.
Unfortunately. So it'll be in a year's time, we just had to win again. And that's what we do. Our team, that's winners what... win. Winners win. That's what we do.
Sounds like a fix to me.
So,
yeah, I mean, go on, John.
Oh, I'm completely talking too much, so go ahead.
I'll just say, like, you know, I just want to throw it out there and thank every single person that's been involved in our journey on this podcast. Every single person that we've interviewed, every single person that's gave us feedback, input, and then obviously, you know, done introductions to other people as well, because without that, you know, we wouldn't be here on our 50th episode doing what we're doing and enjoying what we're doing at the same time.
Yeah.
And as you know, it's opened so many doors, and also the fact we spoke at South Coast Summit twice over in the last 2 years, and then getting, I mean, I think our last one was probably our best attended one. And just some of the feedback and the conversations, and I'm looking forward to like speaking to Storm Ray, who's going to be on this podcast in the future, as a woman that was basically in our audience and basically stood up and had a, you know, what was it say? It's not a rant.
That was like an adventure moment. So like, she was Captain America and she come up and stood, and everyone was just like, wow, like.
Well, since she did that, I've got one of my partners' big women in tech event speaking. So that's in February or March, but yeah, incredible. Like, there's been some incredible women that we've met.
What would you say? A question for both of you. Sophia, go first. What's been your favourite episode?
Mine. I'm not kidding.
Episode 14 myself.
Yeah, go watch it, everyone. My favourite episode. I couldn't even, because I feel like every episode that I'm on, I get into such a good conversation and I feel like I bounce off and everyone's been bouncing back. And I've enjoyed every single one. So I couldn't pinpoint one favourite, to be honest.
That's just such a politician. Like, you're so, that's such a politician.
I've got positives out of them all, and I've learned stuff from them all.
Such a politician. Andrew, what's your favourite?
I have a few that I really enjoyed.
I will allow top three for both of you. Top three.
Top three.
I could tell you.
I've got top three.
Okay, Tracy Van Der Schaaf. That was such a giggle.
Yeah, that was Donna a laugh. Sarkar. That was. She's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Donna Sarkar's episode. And I'll have to say Maverick Miri as well.
Yeah, I was looking at that as well, thinking Maverick Miri, the good episode. My top three, Donna, obviously. Donna, that was like, because that was just an easy episode. And I think I was drunk as well, so that helped. I was at Comsverse, so I went upstairs at Comsverse and spoke from the hotel room. So I think I was pretty, I wasn't drunk, I was tipsy. So, you know, that was a cool one. Yeah, I think you can look at my good episodes by how long they go, because the longer ones seem to be kind of like we just don't stop talking.
The most fun, though, the one that was South Coast Summit, Carleen Jackson in the room.
Yeah, in person. Yeah, yeah. And my other one was Christine Kolodziejski, Power Platform MVP now, absolute superstar. When it comes to power platform, like, I was speaking to her at the South Coast Summit, and she's like the big thing now within power platforms. And we had her on board just as that superstardom was coming out. That was a really good one.
Yeah, we made her famous. There we go. She MVP status podcast.
we took her when we got her on the tip of the pinnacle of like when she kicked off, right? And what was really nice about that episode as well was that we had a pullout that day, and I met her the weekend before in person at the Scottish Summit. I was like, look, like, can you come and jump on this episode? She's like, yeah, no worries. Jumped on straight away. Just done it. And it was just such an easy episode.
I think for out of all the episodes we've ever done, her introduction was probably one of the best, because we didn't have to ask any questions. It was like 15 minutes of us just sitting there just listening, which is actually great for us and great for my editing. So yeah, it was a good episode. I mean,
I'll say joint third. I don't know, it's hard to say for her, but Holly Lehman was a great one as well. Tracy.
Yes.
And what the other one? I'm looking through the episode list now. And Miri, that was like, her journey's like incredible, incredible. And Sophie's, obviously.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. To be honest though, from then though, like, especially technically and what I do now and stuff, I feel like I've grown so much. I feel like now it would be very different. But yeah, back in the day, great one.
Yeah, cool.
It has been such, you know, a great experience talking to all these different women over the course of the 21 months, whatever it's been. Because without this, I mean, I think even for other women as well, I mean, we was talking to Stephanie Winter.
Yeah.
And she didn't realise we had Karuna Gatamu on this podcast, and she sees Karuna as the tech Beyonce. So, like, role model in the IT market. It's just so nice. Everyone, I mean, I look on LinkedIn at the minute and like Twitter, and every time I go on there at the minute, obviously you've got the European SharePoint conference going on, I went, yep, they've been on the podcast and they're together.
The whole community
is very much, you know, together.
Bemke sent me a message, a photo yesterday, and on this photo, I'll send it to you, to our group now, so you guys can see. And maybe you can put it on the video for this, Andrew. It's quite a cool one.
Yeah, I'll stitch it in. There we go.
Yeah,
so everyone else can see it on YouTube.
So you can see it on YouTube. But I thought this is such a cool picture. So it's a SharePoint conference at the moment in Denmark.
And I saw that photo.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't actually put it on social media, but like all four of those have all been guests on the podcast at some point.
Exactly.
So you've got Holly on the left, Heather, Femke, and
Karuna.
Karuna, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that there's another picture of Holly with, what are the name going out of my head? I was just about to say of another guest that's been on. They do the podcast together.
We may as well have just named them all.
No, so that was, yeah, they do it together, don't they? These, the girl from
Isadora. There we go.
Yeah. That's probably the first time they met in person as well, I think.
I think it's the second time. I think she went over for like a wedding or something like that. Yeah. So.
Cool.
But yeah, right. It has been amazing. I think what we'll do now then, obviously, we need to flip it over and actually end out this episode with the amazing guys that have basically submitted content to obviously be a part of this episode today.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what we'll do, we'll mention them all by name and then just let the videos then play.
Yeah. I don't know the names, so you go for it.
But the names, well, here we go. Right. Let's try not to butcher these names as much as possible, yeah?
Yeah.
So, Pete Rising, obviously, as part of the Cloud Conversations podcast. Kevin McDonald from the Grey Hat, Beard and Princess podcast. Carl Saragnar. I'm terrible. But anyway, Carl, thank you very much. You should not be doing this. Now, I mean, Carl came to our session at the Safe Coast Summit and reached out and was very supportive of us. So, yeah, thank you, Carl. And the fact that I butchered your name, mate, I apologise. If you see me at any point in the future, just ask me to buy you a beer, you know. Mark Anderson, Bob Miller, and William / Billy Hopkins and Scott Riley. So thank you to them guys who have answered my call for content, and we'll let their episodes play right now.
Hey everyone, my name's Scott Riley. I run a small Microsoft consultancy called Cloud Nexus, and I've worked in the IT industry for around 22 years now. So why is it important to support women in tech? Well, let's be honest. The IT industry has, for a very long time, been completely saturated with men. You go to any IT conference and take a quick look at the audience, and it's predominantly still male. And when you have too many of one type of people, whether that's gender, ethnicity, or any other group, it can become an echo chamber, with the same types of people having the same types of thoughts and attitudes. And let's be really honest for a second. If you did go to an IT conference, for the longest time, there were women there on the vendor floor. They'd been hired in sales or marketing roles to look pretty and attract people to the stand. Fortunately, things are starting to change, and there are some amazing role models smashing it in the technology space. People like Tracy Pound, the MD of Maximity, who also chairs the CompTIA board. Hannah Lloyd, not only a champion for women in technology, but also for neurodiversity, as she openly talks about her ADHD and the benefits that it brings to her every day. And it's role models like that who are helping. We can already see newcomers to the space who are absolutely smashing it themselves, like Lizzie Robinson at Pax8 and Sophie Daimlo over at Geocom, both of whom are coming into a space where more support is given to women in tech and they're able to confidently show up and provide awesome insight every day. But there's still so much more to do. So if you're wondering how you can support women in technology as an ally, here are some thoughts. Firstly, bias does exist. Conscious and unconscious. If it's going to change, we need to recognize our biases and ensure that we aren't dismissing candidates, proposals, opinions, just because of people's backgrounds, gender, or ethnicity. Secondly, deliberately pursue diverse talent in your business. I already said this, but given half a chance, we will probably hire someone who looks and sounds like we do. But it can be hard. Because tech has been so male-focused for so long, there's not a lot of candidates that aren't male. That's something that we have the opportunity to change. Look for the opportunity to hire diversely. Push your recruiters. Have longer hiring cycles. Don't just take the easy option and say, oh, all the candidates were male, so we don't really have a choice. expand your geography, hire remotely, really, really look. And finally, be a promoter. Recognize and promote the achievements of women in your workplace and in the community. If someone out there is absolutely smashing it, let them know. By making tech a supportive and inclusive community where we actively recognize and promote people's achievements in a genuine way, the better community it will be for everyone.
Hello, I'm Peter Rising, a Microsoft MVP and head of practice for security, compliance, and identity at CPS. This is a fact that wouldn't have even been possible without a woman in tech. I'm massively passionate about supporting and spreading awareness about the importance of women in the tech industry. I was first recruited into my first role in technology back in the mid-1990s by an amazing woman who was the then IT manager of a law firm that I was working at the time as the office junior. I was directionless, no career plan, and she saw something in me and took a chance on me. She became a massively important role model for me, and I wouldn't be where I am today without her. This is why the importance of women in tech means so much to me. We've not progressed nearly as far as we should have in the almost 30 years between then and now. And so I'm dedicated to being part of the very necessary change that needs to happen to show girls of school-leaving age that this is a path that is available to them. I'm so lucky to know so many trailblazing women in tech, people like Kat Beedham, Azure McFarlane, Morgan O'Sullivan, and Sophie Dimlow, and many, many more. We need to be actively seeking outstanding talent like these amazing women while recruiting for roles in the tech industry, technical or otherwise. Male allyship is crucial to the success of this. So please come and join us, help us tell this story, and together we can be part of something very, very important. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Kevin McDonnell. I'm a Microsoft 365 Apps and Services MVP. I'm the head of practice for Modern Workplace at CPS, a UK-based Microsoft Gold partner. I'm the co-host of the Grey Hatbeard Princess podcast and Aviva Explorer. But that is not important right now, because I'm here to say that I'm also an ally to women in teams and to women in tech in general. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a very good question. I think it is there to ask the question of a lot of us as the way that we represent. Why do I think women in technology and specifically around Teams is important? Because the users of Teams should be 50% women. And if we're not encouraging the wider adoption, involvement in women around Teams, you're automatically putting those barriers in place. You're making it harder to take on those different perspectives. There should be that openness that we're all challenging the ways that things happen, and we should be encouraging women to be involved in this on there. There are so many strong and powerful women involved in the community that we should be there supporting. It's one of the reasons I love the Aviva Explorers is the spread and the diversity that we have within that as an organization. And I think it is so important to embrace that as far as possible. And to make sure that our language and our ways of engaging don't either consciously or subconsciously exclude people from that. The use of the phrase guys, please, please don't say guys. Yes, I know many people think, oh no, it's okay. It's not gender specific, but the reality is it has come from a gender specific world. So you're subconsciously including that exclusion. Including that exclusion for people. That's a horrible phrase, sorry. But you're keeping that maintenance going on there. So please think about your language, think about the way you behave and how it can be more open to women as well. Now, I may be listening to this and thinking, but Kevin, you're not very good at this on there. Please let me know. Drop me a message on Twitter at Kev McDonk and say how you... Please let me know how you think I can improve on that. I'm always open to listening to that and seeing how I can change my behaviors based on the things there as well. So absolutely agree. And I ask of other men just to look at your behaviors, you look at how that can be perceived and just question whether that's something that you should look to change as well. Also listen to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast, and I thank the team for putting this together and putting this video on there, because it's such an important subject on there. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to hear from more of you.
Hello, So my name is Billy Hopkins. I am an Azure Cloud Consultant Specialist. My background is hardware networking. I used to be in the military for 8 years. I was in the Royal Air Force. Today's video is really quick on women in tech. So I should talk about my reasonings, why I'm interested, what I do to help promote, if I do anything. You know, it's a big assumption there. And then maybe what am I going to do to carry on or in the future or to bring more people in. So let's start with the very first sort of thing for me. So the word ally. So women in tech, ally. The word makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know, total transparency here. And I'll come on to my reasonings why. But what does the word ally mean to me? So the word ally to me in like the dictionary definition is sort of you need to learn, then you need to advocate, and then you need to sort of support, sponsor, help. You need to do things. For me personally, the word ally is about learning. So women in tech, ally to me is learning. That's exactly what it is. So I'm now spending this time, I'm reading books, trying to understand the disparity, you know, the potential, like 80% male to 20% female, and in some companies it's as low as, you know, 8%. So I'm trying to really understand, like, why does that happen, how does that happen, and then trying to understand, like, why is it important, why does it matter. So then we move on to sort of like, well, you know, why do I care about that? Why is that important to Billy? Why does it matter to me? Again, I'm not going to jump up like some people have and say, well, I've been massively inspired by one individual, or I've got daughters, and, you know, it's nothing to do with that, really. It's more a case of, like, I really dislike injustice generally. I'm from sort of a roughish area growing up, and I know what it's like to not have that many opportunities. So now that I'm up the ladder, I want to reach down and I just want to help other people. So selfishly, I like helping out. That's an aspect of it. The other aspect, again, selfishly, is that I feel like the workplace and where I work is missing out on females being involved. I feel like female leadership it's different. Like, we can go on to it, we really don't have time for it, but, you know, like, just males is one way of thinking. Once you bring females into it, you bring in a different way of thinking, and the workplace needs that, and working in tech, we need that. So I am massively passionate about just improving the workplace for myself and others. Again, so I'm going to come, I've nearly run out of time because I can't off talk. But why do I not like the word sort of ally? And the honest answer is because I'm not doing enough. I don't feel like I'm worthy of the title ally yet. What am I doing right now? As I said, I'm learning. I'm trying to be as fair as possible. I'm trying to think back on the things that I've done previously and try and learn, because I've made lots of mistakes, as I'm sure plenty of men, well-intentioned, well-meaning men have. You know, we make mistakes. So I'm looking back on all of that and I'm thinking, how can I be better? How can I be different? Again, I've led teams. I've been a sports coach, you know, working with females, you know. So again, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, how did I treat them? You know, was I fair? Going forwards, am I going to act differently? You know, am I going to treat people differently? And I think one of the biggest take homes I'm working on at the moment is pass the mic. Again, just because of my background, my opportunities, my experience, I'm going to get lots and lots of them, you know, and females are underrepresented. So maybe one of those opportunities I get, I'm going to pass over and just say, you know, it's not for me, and just try and bring someone else through. So again, you know, there's an element of sort of learning, mentorship, just my personal actions on trying to be better. And that's it for now. You know, I'm going to try and master that and get good at it. And again, just being in the community, just learning, and just trying to be better within myself. I have got way over the allocated time limit, so apologies for that. Cheers for listening now.
Hello, my name is Carl Sagner. I am a web developer. I've been using Microsoft technologies for nearly 20 years, and I've worked from a range of companies, from startups with a handful of people to multinationals with tens of thousands of people. And my experience in the teams and groups that I've worked in is that we desperately, desperately need more women in tech. The main reason for that, I break into three points. The first being that women make up half our population. but they don't make up anywhere near that percentage of the tech industry. We've all been in teams where the overwhelming makeup of that team is men, and typically white men. That's simply not fair. It's not right. You know, women need better representation, not just making up numbers, but actually in positions of decision making, in positions to be able to guide the thought of the team and to contribute equally to the whole team. And that brings me into my second point, which is we work in teams to build software for everyone, and the software that we build has to be driven by the people that we're writing software for. If our teams are only made up of men, we're going to top have one kind of thought throughout. You know, we need to have different ideas from diversity of people, diversity of cultures, diversity of races, and also women in tech. Different sources of ideas will bring forward different problems which need to be solved, and these are the same problems that our users will face, that people who use our tools will face, that people who use our software every day will face. The third reason is simply that I personally strongly feel that it is the responsibility of anyone who has made it to a certain point in their career to not close the door behind them, to not pull up the rope. We need to be there to actually make it easier for the next generation of developers, for the next generation of people who want to move into tech. And if we're not making that the case universally, then we're not doing a very good job. I have two daughters who are very young, and they have shown a massive interest in tech. And if they should choose to move into tech when they get to their careers, I want them to have the greatest choice possible. And in order to do that, we need more women, more representation. We need role models. They need to be able to see people who are like them. And everyone needs this. Everyone needs to be able to see, feel represented in the industry, to be able to feel that they can contribute. And there are an amazing number of women out there already doing fantastically. And that's great, but it needs to massively improve. We're not there yet. We need to keep fighting, keep pushing for this. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name's Mark Anderson. I'm the president of Simpraxis Consulting, which is based in New England in the United States. I was excited to hear about this Women in Tech episode and wanted to sort of drop my 5 cents in, as we say in the U.S. I think, you know, women in tech is an interesting sort of buzz phrase, but, you know, what it stands for me is we really need equal opportunity for everyone in tech. You know, I've been around in the industry for a very long time, longer than some people would like to admit. And, you know, it used to be a very, very male dominated field, and then it became less male dominated. And then sometimes I think these days we're sort of swinging back and forth toward the male, an overrepresentation of the male gender. One of the things that I think is really important is to encourage, especially younger people, to study STEM topics, you know, study math and science, get some training and some exposure to some of the things that are just so, to me, fun and exciting, so that they can feed into a tech career. And I think that a strong education system is really key to making that happen. I think that, you know, when I find out I'm working with someone new, the last thing that comes to my mind is what's their gender. I mean, I think it's always about what people are bringing to the table. You know, what skills do they have? What capabilities? What are they interested in? How can they contribute to the teamwork? You know, collaboration, in the form of SharePoint is sort of in our blood. There are a lot of self-selecting people in our community because we really believe in collaborating. And collaborating means working with whoever can contribute and make a difference in what we're trying to accomplish. The other thing is that, you know, I've got some very, actually amazing colleagues at Simpraxis in Julie Turner and Emily Mancini. And having their presence and their different perspective amongst, you know, some of us other male types is actually really, really helpful. You know, we discuss a lot of topics that are non-technical, and I think it makes us better at what we do as consultants to have different viewpoints. So I think it's very important that we all support women in tech. We all encourage women to go into technical fields. We try and help bring down some of the barriers, whether real or imagined, to show people how exciting and fun that this industry can be. And, you know, I hope that those of you who watch this episode will be encouraged to go out and find somebody who you can mentor or somebody you can encourage. Maybe it's your own daughter. Maybe it's somebody across the street. Maybe it's somebody you know at work. But take the time to encourage people who are not, you know, in my case, an old white guy, and try and give them the encouragement that they need in order to succeed in this industry. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Bob Miller, and I've been in the tech industry for over 35 years in a variety of roles. I'm currently working for Fujitsu's Digital Transformation Services team as a digital consultant, and I consider myself to be a male ally of women in tech. As a school governor, I regularly see the attainment data for 11-year-old girls, where their achievements in STEM subjects far outstrip those of boys of the same age. Yet when those same girls, enter the workforce as young women, somehow their engagement levels drops to around 15 to 20%. They've gone from leading the STEM field as preteens to trailing when they leave university. What happens between 11 and 23? Whatever it is can only be societal and systemic, and it can be nothing else. I have two daughters, now both in their mid to late 20s, and I watched through their teenage years as they had to battle for every win and victory in disciplines and areas where I encountered no such barriers. It's just wrong. But it has to change. And words alone simply won't cut it. Being vocal in support of gender equality is good, but it's far from enough. We, as male allies, have to do more. To call out behaviour and circumstance where women are disadvantaged by an out-of-date approach. And let's not even get started on toxic masculinity. Here's the rub. In my experience, women in tech don't want special treatment. They don't want unfair advantage bestowed upon them. They simply want a level playing field. And where we as male allies don't see that level playing field for women in any area or discipline, we must speak up. We have to shine a light on it. It's up to us and not just women to keep gender equality high on the agenda. My message to my fellow men, my fellow males, is to recognise when women are unfairly disadvantaged and do something about it, not just speak about it. Recognise also that your own bias is at play here. It's right there. Trust me. Hold other men up to a high bar in terms of treating women in the workplace with the same respect that they would give to other men. Make this issue our issue too. Otherwise, it won't ever change. Apathy will mean that this continues to remain unaddressed, and we'll be having the same discussion in 20 years' time. Thanks for listening.
Hi, my name's Phil Clark. I'm the owner of a small IT consultancy called Embedded IT Limited, and I'm also the chair of a social enterprise called Tech Solon. And I've been asked to just give a little opinion on why I think it's important to make sure we've got appropriate representation of women in technology going forward. From my perspective, I've been working in the industry about 30 years, and I don't think I've ever been to a meeting other than events to do with women in technology that have got an appropriate representation of women in the room. We're at a place now where we've got quite a significant bias towards men in technology sector, and we need to make sure we address that to resolve some of the general problems within the technology sector going forward. I've done some analysis recently. Of all of the statutory directors of IT companies in the UK, only 23% are women. So we're in a position now where we haven't got any role models, or we haven't got enough role models to drive and attract more diversity into the sector. And on that basis, I think we just need to think about this and try and apply ourselves to fix the problem. The other slightly sort of less women in tech related thing is we've got a massive digital skills gap. If we don't have a big enough talent pool to sort that digital skills gap out, we're not attracting the right people into the sector, we're not going to fix the problem. So we need to make sure that we're attracting as many people into the technology sector as we can, especially women, but all sorts of equality and diversity issues need to be addressed to make sure we've got as big a talent pool as we can to take the technology sector forward in the UK. And the final point is, you know, technology is getting to a position now where it's starting to make decisions on behalf of society. We're in a position now where artificial intelligence can do all sorts of crazy things. And if we haven't got those technologies being designed by an appropriately diverse bunch of people, we're going to get ourselves in a position where some areas of society are being particularly biased against. And that will get us into a whole lot of hot water. And certainly on the technology sector at the moment, we're at a tipping point now where technology is starting to do all sorts of clever things with regards to making decisions about how society operates. And we need to make sure that everyone is represented in that decision-making technology and at the design stage of some of those technologies. Now, I've got children. I want to make sure that their opportunities aren't limited by anything. And so we need to, as a sector, make sure we're addressing all of the technology, equality and diversity issues, especially gender, to make sure they've got all of the opportunities that available to them. What we can specifically do to support this, there's a whole raft of things, but I'm a strong believer that perceptions of someone's role in society starts at a very, very young age. And we need the kids to get involved in technology sector from probably the age of 9 or 10. So we're getting to the stage now where we need to promote the sector and their capabilities in the sector at that sort of age. And so I'd recommend all of you to get involved with your local schools or colleges and offer to talk to kids about technology. Talk about what you do for a job, but make it a pitch to such an extent that it applies to everyone. We're in a situation now where kids are really attracted to the gaming side of things, and that's very much the domain of boys. I think we need to unpick some of that and explain some of the less sort of technical aspects of the technology sector, such that it applies to everyone in society and the kids feel like they can engage with that. And then finally, I'd really recommend you actively support and promote some of the female role models in technology. I'm very lucky to have worked with some of them, Carmina Lees in Accenture and Athena Ainsworth in Restore Technologies as two particular examples. And I'm a big fan of Jordan Marie Brompton, who's the leader of the My Energy engineering side of things. And they do a lot of good things around LinkedIn. So make sure you engage with their content and promote the good work that they're doing to balance out the women in technology side of things. Thanks.
Cool. So I hope everyone's enjoyed the podcast so far. We started off obviously a little bit of a catch up between the three of us. You've heard some messages from, I think, me and Andrew and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other people. Sorry, counting. And just want to thank not only the listeners, not only the people that spoke today, but you two. It's been fantastic. It's been great to obviously get to know the both of you, do this with you both, and here's to more. Okay. Cheers.
R2D2 cup in the air, there you go.
my bottle says Microsoft Cloud Adoption Framework for Azure. There we go. Oh. On brand.
Oh nice. Well, I'm wearing a top, so that's where we go. But anyway, this episode comes out to you today, 20th of December, and just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone listening. Hope you have had a fantastic year, and best of luck for 2023.
Yes, and we'll be back in 2023 with our very first episode of the year, and we'll carry on doing our best to bring you the very best in episodes, content, discussions from women in tech from around the globe as we continue, you know, to support and deliver our message. And here we go, spotlight the stars in the women in tech community.
Cool. All right. Thank you both so much. And we'll see you next year or next
Thank
week.
Thank you.
Because we'll do lots of recordings before seeing our end. So
yeah. I mean, in those episodes recording now, it's like, you know, I've got so many recordings between now and the end of the year. And yeah, we'll see you all in 2023.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.